This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Jeff Shackelford is the author of 11 books, a contributing editor to Golf Digest. He's also a golf course architect. He has taught golf course restoration at Harvard. He's a regular contributor to Morning Drive on Golf Channel, and he's got the most popular blog site in the game, jeffshackelford.com. It's a pleasure to welcome Jeff Shackelford back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, John.
Lots to cover. Let's start with the task force. Did you like the idea of the task force? I hate saying task force.
I know. It's a committee.
All right. Did you like the idea?
It's a sexier way to say committee.
Did you like the idea of the committee? And give me your thoughts about who's on it.
No, I don't think it's necessary. I suppose something was necessary to sort of regroup. But I think the issues that we face are really just not that complicated. I mean, first of all, we weren't supposed to win this Ryder Cup anyway. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong leading into the Ryder Cup. And so we knew they were major underdogs, and it played out about the way you'd expect. Now, obviously, Tom Watson's behavior was a little bit strange. And we probably reached a point of fatigue where we were tired of the Europeans being so efficient. So there's no question we needed to kind of regroup in terms of looking at a model that gives us a little more consistency and has some assistant captains working that eventually become captains and, you know, pretty basic stuff. So I just didn't think it was necessary because Paul Azinger kind of did all this legwork a few years ago. And the PGA sort of ignored him, and I just don't think that it's really that complicated.
Well, Paul is not on the committee, and he made some comments earlier this week that he, you know, he's not dismissing everything. He just thought it was moving a little too quickly and may indeed get involved. Where do you think Paul's coming from in all of this?
Paul is, I think, I believe the phrase is yanking the PGA's chain. I think he's just a little annoyed that he had that great Ryder Cup, and you know, he really gave it a lot of thought and brought some new ideas, and they worked. And I think he feels a little bit disrespected for that, the PGA not having seen that and saying, okay, let's kind of give him some credit here and use this as our model. So I think he's using that as this is a chance to kind of get a little revenge there. And I think it's kind of funny, and I think it's really as simple as that. I think he's very passionate about Team America and USA, and he'll do his part to help. But I think in the meantime, he's going to make him work a little. Plus, he also made a good point today on Morning Drive that you know, we're still a little emotional from all this, and it's a little quick to jump in and make decisions when you still have some raw emotions lingering around.
How much of this do you think just falls on the feet of the outgoing PGA president, Ted Bishop?
Oh, not at all. Hey, people forget. Yeah, we have a very short attention span these days in America. His selection of Tom Watson was lauded and respected, and I think it still, in hindsight, was probably a good selection because when you look at everything that went wrong for Team USA this year, imagine if that had been a David Toms or one of the guys in their 40s who this was their one chance, and they basically get dealt this hand of people being injured and not being able to play and so on and so forth. So I still think it was the right selection. I just don't think that he could have anticipated that Tom Watson would just not be very good at certain details like putting together practice round pairings and kind of making lineups and communicating some pretty basic stuff to the players.
What would you like to have seen done? It sounds to me like you think we've overthought this. What should we, business is normal?
Well, here's I always had a problem with Tom Watson's selection, and I was on the record many times because I feared that there would be a generational divide, that he was coming from a generation of, go USA, go get them, let's do this from the gut kind of thing. And you have to kind of step back and realize this is not that fun of an event for the players anymore. This is hard work. They don't get paid. A lot of people make money off of them. This is very stressful. And yes, they reap benefits for being a Ryder Cup player by raising their profile. But it's a hard week. And so what Fred Couples and Paul Ezinger have done, people who've recognized that, has made the players feel good about it, have a fun week, have them buy into kind of the thinking behind the strategy of pairings and so on and so forth. And I just don't think Tom Watson did that. And so that's where we need a new approach, that we need to remember that you kind of have to, it's a different person you're dealing with today with players than maybe a generation 20, 30 years ago.
We are talking with Jeff Shackelford from jeffshackelford.com. Okay, we heard from another committee this week, the one tasked with the World Golf Hall of Fame class.
Yeah.
And I know you had a vested interest in this because you have been saying for years that A.W. Tillinghast needed to be in the class. Well, here he comes next July. Give me your thoughts.
Oh, it's great. It's about time. And, for whatever reason, I think the Hall has just been too focused on players. And maybe that's just because we, unlike baseball, don't have wings for writers and people who contribute to the game. They have managers and all sorts of people who've been inducted sometimes twice. And we kind of try to expect somebody to be a great player, or really, we don't really have a place for these sort of Renaissance people who maybe were a very good player, like A.W. Tillinghast, but made his greatest contributions in the form of courses. And of course, his has always just been a ridiculous oversight because he did so much work for the PGA of America and consulting for them, and going to golf courses in the 30s during the Depression to try to help them. And he was a writer and a major promoter of Bobby Jones, this young kid he saw coming along who he thought was going to be a great player. You know, he did, all those little things kind of get lost in these processes. So that's where the Hall of Fame loses people who know about these great old characters in the game.
All right, so Tillinghast is in. Also, David Graham, Laura Davies, and Marco Mira. Was this an all-around good choice of four?
Yeah, this is the makeup year. This is the year we get the people in who we've overlooked. And, Marco Mira just had a very solid career. He gets in essentially on the criteria of the past, and that's great, and I think he should be in. David Graham, same thing. And Laura Davies, I mean, she's won all over the place and won an amazing number of tournaments. She just was kind of left out because the criteria didn't fit her. But they also released a list of some names that were under consideration, and that's where things got a little bit scary because it'll be interesting to see down the road who gets in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Tom Weisskopf wasn't even on the list, and here's somebody who won a major, was a major presence, probably came along at a bad time in terms of winning tournaments because there was an amazing group of players at that time, but then he's also done things in the game, announcing, we'll all remember his announcing at Augusta. His course design work is outstanding. So, again, the Hall has to kind of take those things into consideration. I mean, this is somebody who's really given back to the game.
Well, this, too, another committee choosing these. Well, now we won't do this for two more years. Should someone be looking at that committee kind of being dynamic and maybe some move on? And of course, Ricky Fowler, joined that committee.
You have to have a millennial, John. Come on now. That's a requirement these days. The makeup of the committee is a little disconcerting to me. And there's also these kind of this strange coded language that the continues to suggest that the writers who essentially voted before really kind of let the Hall of Fame down. And I talk about a quick way to make sure nobody comes and covers your induction ceremony. I mean, times are lean enough as it is, and when you put writers on the fence about wanting to come cover you, that's taking these little jabs, which Jack Peter, I don't know why he did it again today, did so. And So it just shouldn't be this. It should be a celebration of the game, and you do want standards for sure. You know, you don't want it to become a hall where you just have a lot of people. But I like the PGA Task Force of the Ryder Cup. Is it? I don't know if it's as difficult as we seem to always make these things out to be in golf.
Well, so before I let you go, is in your mind is Tom the player now out there that should be in the hall?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's I'm strange. I like to look at these the lifetime, you know. Ken Venturi was another case where here's somebody great player, but also did some great things after his career, and then boy, it took forever to get him in. So yeah, that would be easily my best player never to win a major kind of a category we'd call this. I don't know what you'd call it for the Hall of Fame, but he definitely is one.
He is Jeff Shackelford from jeffshackelford.com. Jeff, thanks for taking the time to do this. I always appreciate it.
As always, John, thank you.